from KMXT in Kodiak. This is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wall. Alaska's first and most lucrative herring fishery in Sitka Sound is not likely to open for the second year in a row, and for only the second time in the fishery's nearly 45-year history. Small fish and a weak market are to blame. Meanwhile, farther north, the Norton Sound winter crab fishery opened last weekend, but nobody showed up. We'll have a report coming up. And finally, a shakeup in the seafood processing industry is raising questions about King Cove's future. All that coming up on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report, right after this.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
The Sitka Sacro herring fishery likely won't happen this year. That's according to a statement released February 28th by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Weak markets and smaller than average fish, two factors in the premature closure of last year's fishery, are being blamed for the move, along with new uncertainty over the spread of coronavirus in China. KCAW's Catherine Rose reports.
The news release says that ADF&G contacted all processors with a known interest in the sacro fishery, and they've all indicated that they do not intend to purchase herring due to market conditions and the forecast run of small fish. KCAW confirmed with both Silver Bay and Sitka Sound Seafoods that they would not be buying herring this year. In an email, Silver Bay's Richard Riggs said that the uncertainty with the coronavirus also played a part in his company's decision to withdraw from the fishery this year. A significant quantity of Sitka herring is reprocessed in China before going to Japan. And processing fish is an expensive endeavor. Bill Grant at Sitka Sound Seafoods said the cost of relocating tenders to Sitka, setting up freezers, and flying up employees, all while being uncertain about whether the fleet would find fish that meet with market demands, weighed into the processor's decision to not purchase herring this spring. Chip Trinan is a permit holder for the fishery and president of the Southeast Herring Conservation Alliance.
We're not able to come to a decision as seiners ourselves. The processors looked at the market conditions and all of the circumstances that are surrounding us in this case. We have, an added problem of the coronavirus at this point. And then there was, of course, trade issues with China and the tariff situation. So a whole lot of things that were stacked against us.
Fish need to be at around 110 grams or more, but this year's forecast is projecting smaller 3- and 4-year-old fish that will weigh around 92 grams. Last year, the seiners came to Sitka mid-March as usual and waited around for a few weeks, but they were unable to find fish that were big enough to get the price they wanted, so the fishery never opened. Trinan said that not fishing will be hard on their wallets, particularly for new permit holders who are still paying off their permits.
Well, it's a bad situation for all of us. None of us want to be standing down, but we also don't want to waste money and hang out for an unlikely return. We're all small businessmen, and we need to make money in what we do.
And all this comes while the Alaska Department of Fish and Game is fighting a lawsuit with the Sitka Tribe of Alaska. Trinan's organization is an intervener in the suit that alleges the state has mismanaged the fishery and infringed on the rights of subsistence users. The case is set to go to trial in July. Even if processors and seiners are standing down, it's still business as usual for state biologists. They'll still conduct aerial surveys, map spawn, and keep an eye on the herring activity. ADF&G's research vessel Kestrel will arrive mid-March. If conditions change, and they still could, the state could announce an opening of the fishery for anyone who is around to fish it. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Last Saturday marked the opening of the 2020 Norton Sound Winter Commercial Crab Fishery. What is normally a red-letter day for regional fishermen was instead a dud, as no commercial crabbers started fishing that weekend. Alaska Department of Fish and Game Area Manager Jim Menard says, as of Monday morning, just one commercial crabber had officially registered to fish this winter's fishery. Without many regional commercial permit holders, that also means there won't be any way to sell potential crab. In Fish and Game's announcement to open the fishery, the department was advocating for catcher sellers to market their crabs. But in order to receive a catcher seller permit, Menard says crabbers must first register for a commercial crabbing permit. Adam Boakman, who has fished in the Norton Sound commercial crab fishery for more than 20 years, says he wrestled with the decision to not crab this past weekend.
You know, I've been thinking about it for a while, and I'm concerned about our resource a lot. But at the same time, I know me and a group of guys that have been doing it for 20 plus years, there's a void in our life. We really miss getting out on the ice and doing something that we've been rather successful at. You know, it gets us through a tough time of year. It gets dark, and when you can get out and have something like that, it's a game changer for a lot of us.
Commercial crabbing during the winter and summer seasons makes up a significant part of Boakman's yearly income. Last summer's commercial crabbing season resulted in Boakman spending more money to find crab than he made from selling them. Based on his efforts then and the state of the Norton Sound crab fishery now, Boakman says he feels it is best to stand down for a period of time. The Nome crabber says he isn't sure what he'll do instead to make money this season.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org. The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960. Or online at alaskaboat.com.
And finally this week, what happens when a small fishing community finds out their processing plant is being put up for sale? The village of King Cove runs on fish. The community of 900 sits near the end of the Alaska Peninsula. Fishermen deliver their catch from the Gulf of Alaska and the Bering Sea to a huge processing plant owned by a company called Peter Pan Seafoods. And fish tax revenues pays many of the town's bills. Now, though, Peter Pan has put that plant up for sale. And as Nat Herz with Alaska's Energy Desk reports, a shakeup in the seafood processing industry is raising questions about King Cove's future.
A.J. Newman catches salmon, pollock, and cod, and for three decades, he's delivered load after load to the Peter Pan processing plant in King Cove. But he and others in the village have grown frustrated with the privately owned business. He says Peter Pan will only buy so much salmon from fishermen each day, while the processor in the next town over buys more.
You know, it's hard to watch your buddy's catching double what you got.
So when Silver Bay Seafoods opened a new processing plant 40 miles to the west last year in the tiny village of False Pass, Newman jumped at the opportunity.
The biggest part of the switching was the market. Peter Pan had too many boats and they couldn't handle all the fish. We just didn't feel like they were hearing us. For years, we've told them our concerns and they just didn't really listen.
Newman is known as a highliner. That's someone who's an especially successful fisherman. But he's not the only one who broke up with Peter Pan. More than half of King Cove's seine fleet switched to delivering their salmon to Silver Bay in False Pass last summer. Add all that fish up, and you start to get some pretty serious unintended consequences. Gary Hennig is King Cove's city administrator.
It really started with me as soon as we got the first tax returns in for last June.
By the end of the summer, Hennig says, it was clear that King Cove was on track to lose 25% of its total annual general fund income. That's because historically, about half of the city's revenues, around $1.5 million, come from taxes on fish. Now, Hennig and the city council are trying to sort out which services they're going to have to cut. That could include hours at the teen and rec centers, along with a program that helps seniors pay for their utilities.
You know, the pick on kids and the pick on seniors, that's a lot of emotions. And this is really what the mayor and the council are struggling with, you know, that we know the value and the pride and the reasons that we have done these things, but the times are changing and we can't afford them.
Now King Cove could be in for an even bigger shakeup. Earlier this month, news broke that the Japanese seafood corporation that owns Peter Pan is putting the company up for sale. Peter Pan hasn't said anything publicly about the King Cove plant's future, and it didn't respond to requests for comment. It's not clear who, if anyone, might want to buy it. Observers say the seafood processing industry is way overbuilt in the region. There's King Cove's big plant, Silver Bay's new one, and two more in the same area. John Fiorillo, executive editor of a trade publication called Intrafish Media, says the industry seems overdue for a restructuring that could lead to some players shutting down.
Everybody is wondering why so much, you know, why such an arms race in a place where you really don't have enough resource. Somebody's going to be a casualty.
Hennig, King Cove's administrator, says the city council is trying to be careful not to cause panic. But they're also mindful of the history of some of the other villages along the Alaska Peninsula and in the Aleutians, some of which have disappeared when their fish processing plants closed down. King Cove isn't the only village in the region that suffered amid a downturn in the fishing industry recently. Another plant in the nearby town of Sand Point closed for the winter amid a crash in cod stocks linked to global warming.
We've got to start educating our fellow citizens that things are happening that we really don't have control over. With a little bit more time and hopefully a little bit more good news, maybe we'll end up being okay, but we're certainly not close to that now.
Until King Cove finds out what's happening to Peter Pan's processing plant, Hennig says the village is going to have to be very careful about how it spends its money. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Catherine Rose at KCAW in Sitka, Davis Hovey at KNON in Nome, Nat Herz with Alaska's Energy Desk in Anchorage, and Lainey Welch from Alaska Fish Radio. For you fishermen, good luck fishing, and please be careful. Your family needs you to come home safely. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Wall.